Well, thank you, Mr. Campbell, for the words of welcome. I'd like to thank your minister and your session for the opportunity to be here. And I'd like to thank all of you for your prayers and your interest and for your support for the work in Uganda. We know that a great many people at home are praying for the work and supporting it in many different ways. And we appreciate that very much indeed. I'd like to read some verses from the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua, chapter 1. Joshua, chapter 1. And we'll consider this portion of God's word and say a little of how the Lord has called us to the work. And then after that, we have a DVD, lasts about 19, 20 minutes. And then we'll finish with some pictures and some prayer requests. Joshua, chapter 1. We'll read from the verse 5, and the Lord is speaking directly and personally to Joshua as he sends him out to do a new work for him. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Amen. And we'll end our reading at verse 9 of that chapter. And in this chapter, the Lord is instructing Joshua as he sends him out to do this new work for him. And the amazing life and service of Moses has come to an end. And now Joshua must step forward and lead the children of Israel into the promised land. And we are encouraged by the fact that the Lord's work does not depend on any one individual. And while it doesn't depend on any one individual, yet it does please the Lord to use individuals, men and women and boys and girls, in doing his service and in accomplishing his purposes in the world. And the Lord always has a work for us to do. And the work that the Lord has for us to do, it always flows from his great purpose in love and mercy in the world, to save a people out of the world from every tribe and tongue and nation of the world. And today, as we speak, the Lord is building his church. The Lord is calling them in from all corners of the globe. And the means that he has set apart for the gathering in of the lost is the preaching of his word. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, we have that great gospel promise. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then immediately after that, Romans 10 and 14, we read, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And it is my great privilege to be called to be a preacher of God's word and to be sent to preach the gospel in Uganda, in East Africa. Ruth and I never expected to be in Uganda or in Africa or anywhere remotely close to it. We were both brought up in Christian homes, and we had the great blessing of being saved by God's grace early in life when we were children, a blessing that really we can never fully comprehend, to be saved and to know the Lord and have the assurance of sins forgiven and peace with God, and to have the blessing of God with you from early days is a wonderful privilege that we can never really take in. And growing up, we knew the stories of missionaries and read them or had them read to us, of missionaries going abroad to serve the Lord. And for different reasons, neither of us would have thought that such a role was for us. It was some years after Ruth and I were married that the Lord called me to go into the Whitfield College of the Bible in 2012 to train for a full-time service. And that burden had been on my heart for a long time. And I went into Bible college not knowing exactly what role the Lord had for me to do, but with the conviction that I had been called to be a preacher of His Word. And it was while I was in Bible college before I started my fourth year that Ruth and I, in the summer of 2015, had the opportunity to go to Uganda to help out in the work. It was being led at that time by Reverend and Mrs. Noel Kelly, and our trip was part of the mission board finding more out about the work and keeping in touch with it as the mission board prepared to take on the work when the Kellys would retire. And it was very exciting, I have to say, to land at Entebbe Airport in the middle of the night and to go down the steps of the plane and set foot in Uganda for the first time. I never thought that I would make it that length, and I never had any particular desire to make it that length, and I enjoyed living my quiet and uneventful life as it was. I've been diabetic since I was a child and on injections every day, and this was another reason why I thought it would not be possible for me to serve in the developing world. But the Lord is able to make His will possible, and we've been thankful and amazed at how the Lord has granted the health and the medical provision for us to be in Uganda. And it was from the time that we started preparing for that summer trip in 2015 that the Lord began speaking to us about the work in Uganda. And the call of God is a very personal thing between an individual and his Lord. And yet while it's personal, it's not doubtful. When the Lord Himself speaks, He reveals His will. He's no difficulty in opening these hard hearts of ours and speaking directly to us and revealing to us what it is that He wants us to do. And being led of God, the Lord spoke to us individually and together over a period of months, and revealing that this was His will for us. And we applied then to the mission board at the start of 2016. And then after an interview, then later on, the presbytery approved us to go to Uganda. And in calling us to Uganda, the Lord particularly encouraged us and challenged us from this passage in Joshua chapter 1. And in particular, the verse 9, but also the verses leading up to it. If you look there in verse 7 and 8, the Lord says to Joshua, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Joshua is told that he must stick to the word of God if he's to know the blessing of God in the work that he has been sent to do. And he is to meditate upon God's word day and night. He's not to deviate from it to the right hand or to the left. He is to speak it. He's to have it in his mouth. He is to put it into practice. He is to do all that is written in the law of God. And how relevant that is for all of us in our lives from day to day as we seek to live for the Lord, that we are always bringing ourselves again and again to the word of God, our life, our thoughts, our actions, our motives, everything, every part of our life being brought into conformity with the word of God. And as we think about the ministry in Uganda, it has particular significance there as we go to preach the gospel in a culture that is different to our own. We are reminded that we are to stick to what is in the word of God. the culture and thinking of man is a very powerful force in all of our lives. And often people will find certain parts of the gospel message attractive to them. Other parts will hit up against certain traditions and habits of theirs, and those bits they will not like. And there's always the pressure to change the message to make it more acceptable to the people that you're preaching to. But yet the command of God is that we're not to deviate to the right or to the left. We must preach the message. We must stick to the standards of God's word without making compromises according to the culture that we are in. And the people must be changed by the message of the gospel rather than the message being changed for the people. So we are to stick to the word of God and to teach and preach all the counsel of God. And then also as we think about sticking to the word of God in relation to ministry in the developing world, we are reminded that our job, our great work, is to preach the gospel and not to do humanitarian work. And while there is a lot that can be done to help those who are in need in our own little fellowship, as the New Testament would teach us, there are great and many pitfalls in doing what might be termed charitable or humanitarian work. If you're there in a general, thoughtless way, handing things out for free, there'll always be people there who want those things for free. Whether or not they can pay for them themselves is a complete irrelevance. And doing that work will often, if it's done in the wrong way, undermine what it is that you're trying to achieve. And we want to see Christian standards built up. And we want to see Christian homes built up. And fathers in particular taking responsibility for their families and taking responsibility to work to provide for their families. And if we're there interfering and handing things out for free, we actually undermine that and we create a culture of dependence on what we are doing rather than assisting and encouraging people to be able to work and so to provide for themselves. And while there are great pitfalls in such work of that kind, we know that there is nothing but the blessing of God upon the preaching of his word. And it is the gospel that changes lives. It is the gospel that has changed these hearts and lives of ours. It's the gospel that sets men and women free. The gospel is still the power of God unto salvation. It's the gospel that changes hearts, and the gospel that changes homes, and the gospel that changes families and communities and a whole nation when it is embraced in the minds and in the hearts of the people. And the gospel produces responsible parents. And the gospel produces hardworking and obedient children and citizens who will work hard and make a contribution to society. The gospel brings great change, but it is the gospel that does the work. Nothing else. And the gospel, of course, is not only the great manifestation of God's power, it's also the great manifestation of God's love. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And while we can express the love of God in many practical ways as we seek to live for him, nothing will ever outshine the cross and the preaching of the cross as the demonstration of God's love. When we were unlovable in our sin, when we were rebels and enemies against God and hating him and disobedient to his law and far away from him and deserving of hell, then in love he sent his son to take our place and to shed his blood for our salvation. And that is the great message of God's love. It's the great message of salvation through the blood of Christ. And it's that great message that we have the privilege to taking to all people everywhere. And what a shame it would be if our time was wasted in doing something else. And so we're reminded that our work is to stick to the word of God and all that it would teach us. And then we're also reminded here in Joshua 1 and verse 9 of the command of God. Have not I commanded thee? The Lord Jesus Christ is the Lord of the harvest. The harvest of souls is his harvest. The souls for whom he shed his blood, it's his work, not ours. And so we must work where he sends us and in the way that he tells us to do under his command. And this command is also a comforting command. Joshua is told, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid. Neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. He's told to be strong and to have courage and not to be afraid and not to give up, because the Lord is with him wherever he goes. And when we have the Lord with us, then we know that we will have that unending supply of strength and of overcoming grace. And only when we have the Lord with us will we have the strength to continue in our Christian lives, wherever it is that we live and serve him. And very quickly, Joshua would experience, within a short time of receiving this promise, he would experience great difficulties that would naturally cause him to feel afraid and to feel like giving up. And yet the Lord, knowing that before, sends him this assurance that if you're obeying my word and doing my will, then you'll have my presence. And because I'm with you, then there'll be no need to fear or to give up. And certainly there are things in Uganda that would cause us to feel afraid and to feel like giving up. And yet we have the promise of the Lord that his work and his will and his word will be accompanied by his blessing. And when we are walking with him and serving him and living for him, then we have the promise of his presence and his power working in us and through us. And the Lord's cause will prevail wherever it is in the world. The schemes and the plans of evil men cannot undo the will of God. And he is building his church as he promised, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it here or anywhere across the world. And we believe that the Lord has a cause in Uganda. There are around 40 million people in Uganda, as far as anyone knows. No one can really be 100% sure, but they think there's around 40 million. Many different religions in Uganda. The dominant single religion is the Roman Catholic Church. About 40% of the population would belong to the Roman Catholic faith. And then there's another 40%, a mixture of different Protestant churches, mainly the Anglican Church. It would be the largest single Protestant church, and then other evangelical Pentecostal type churches. And those Protestant churches have some gospel truth, but sadly they are hindered by a lot of false teaching and many false ideas. There's a minority Muslim population of about 10%, and then the remainder of the population would follow traditional tribal religious practices. And the old tribal religion runs very deep in the minds of the people. And sometimes they have outwardly, for different reasons, converted to something else, be it Roman Catholicism or Islam or any form of religion, but really they haven't changed at all. The old superstitions, the old fascination with demons, it all just continues in the new religion under a different label, and the heart has not changed in any way. And only the Lord can send the true light of the gospel into the hearts of the people that will really set them free. Economically, Uganda is developing rapidly. We were there for 9 months, and in that time we saw quite a lot of business expansion and building work and optimistic signs for the economic future of the country. Life is certainly different to how we would live here in the West, but with the right leadership and strategy, and if Uganda remains peaceful, it has a lot of resources, and it has the potential to improve the living standards of its own people in the future. It's 30 years since Uganda came out of a very destructive civil war, and in the last 30 years it's made great strides forward. President Museveni has ruled since 1986, and when he came to power he restored the freedom to preach the gospel. He supports Christian teaching in many ways. It's believed that his wife is saved, not thought that he is saved himself. He was re-elected last year, 2016, for another term, but he's an older man now, and he may go on for some years yet, but he can't go on forever, and they've already started arguing over what happens when he leaves and when he should leave. And our prayer would be that whatever happens when he does finally leave power, and whoever succeeds him, that peace and stability and the freedom to preach the gospel would be maintained. Uganda is a very beautiful country, as hopefully we'll see on the DVD. It's a tropical climate, and the equator cuts right across Uganda. The school is just about 20 kilometres below the equator, and it's permanent summertime, really. 25 to 30 degrees Celsius all year round, and two rainy seasons of a few months each. And as I say to people, that's different from here, because we have one rainy season and it lasts all year. And it's amazing just how bad it is when you come back. You sort of forget that it could actually possibly rain so much. And where does it all go? Uganda contains the source of the River Nile, although they argue about it, but it sort of begins in Uganda. It gathers up there, it flows out of Lake Victoria, and it flows all the way from Uganda to Egypt. And it is our prayer that the Lord will move spiritually in gospel blessing in Uganda, that the blessing will flow out like the River Nile into the nations round about that are in such darkness and in such need of the gospel light. The Free Presbyterian Mission Station in Uganda is comprised of a school, a nursery, primary and secondary school, and a church, all in the one compound. And it was handed over to our denomination on the 1st of January. So we're approaching the first year, and it'll be a great relief to see 1 year over. And the Lord has been very good to us, and we're thankful for all that he has done, and it is there that we are seeking to serve him. We're going to come now to the DVD, and I trust that it's going to appear on the screen, and it'll give a little bit more background to what we were doing and to the work itself. The church was mentioned there, and our church service begins at 10 on Sunday morning, so it's from 10 to 11 prayer time, 10 to 11 prayer time, and then from 11 through to 1 is our church service. So as you'd expect, there's quite a lot of singing. The Sunday school get up and sing, and other groups get up and sing, and then we have the congregation singing, and been trying to learn hymns in English, our own hymns, and we've been getting on with that very well. We start with an address for the children, so most of the congregation are children, so we have something particularly for them at the start, and then later on we'll have the preaching of God's word as well. And pray for the people. There are a good number of people there who know the Lord and are seeking to go on with him, and a great deal of need for teaching and for instruction in what the Bible really teaches. And pray that the Lord will bring more in from the local community. We have the boarding school children, and we have staff members who come, but we don't have a great many outside of that from the local area. The mission station is in a rural area between two villages, and it's an overwhelmingly Roman Catholic area with a Muslim minority. So one of our local villages would be considered Roman Catholic, the other one would be considered Muslim. And that's really, by and large, where our people are coming from and where the children are coming from. And over half of the children at the school are from Roman Catholic families, and then we would have some children from Muslim families as well, and other children coming from families where there are mixed marriages as well. And it's a great opportunity to reach those children with the gospel. And we have a Sunday school on Sunday afternoon from 3:30 to 4:30, and the boarding school children come to that, and we have them all together from age 3 or 4 up to about age 20. At the moment, we take them all together. It's like a children's meeting, and they have choruses in English, and they have their memory verse, and they learn some questions from the child's catechism every week, working their way through the child's catechism. And then they have their Bible lesson, and then they have their quiz at the end. And the older ones, I think, enjoy it more, really, at this stage than the younger ones. It suits us just to keep them all together for now. At some point, we'll have to think about dividing them up by age group. Pray that the Lord will bless the word and build up those who are saved and save those who are not saved. We went through the Ten Commandments with them. They learned the Ten Commandments as their memory verses over a number of weeks. And then we said, well, if you can learn all ten and recite all ten in English, then you'll get a prize. So we did that one Sunday, and Mr. Eric Graham, one of our mission board members, was out, and he was able to help listen to the children reciting the Ten Commandments. And we were really pleased at how many were able to recite all Ten Commandments in English, which is not their first language. And then, of course, some of the little ones, well, they were determined to come up anyway. They didn't know all Ten Commandments, but they knew those short ones that have only got a few words in them. So they repeated what they did know, and then they got something as well for what they had learned. And do pray for the children. We are very privileged to have the opportunity to teach them the gospel in the school, and pray that they'll take it then back to their families and to their communities. And remember also our young people as a group. We have a good group of young people who would be involved in the church, young men and young women. And in particular, some of our young men, some of them who are maybe still at school, and some of them who are maybe members of staff, have shown some ability in preaching and have been doing some preaching. And it is our prayer and desire that the Lord will call some of our young men to be preachers and to be ministers of the gospel. If the work is to have a long-term future, we need preachers from the local area who will be able then to take the gospel to their own people. And we have young men from different parts of Uganda. We have a couple of boys from Tanzania, neighbouring country. And then we have a larger group of young men who come from Rwanda, another neighbouring country. And some of them know four or five different languages, tribal languages, English and other languages. And they're accepted among their own people in a way that we will never be. And what mighty instruments they could be in the hand of God if he was to call them and send them out to preach for him. So pray that the Lord will do a real work in hearts. We believe that that has started already, and that they will be genuinely called of God to preach. It's not easy option there. A church would never really be able to fully support a pastor in normal circumstances, so they'd have to work alongside pastoral work. And I pray that the Lord will genuinely call them and make it possible then for them to be trained and then sent out with the gospel. Remember all of the missionaries as a team. Mr. Andrew Foster has been out now for almost a month and is settling in very well. And he has a great deal of work to do in trying to improve the standard of facilities there on the compound, both for the children at the school and for the missionaries as well. And he's been very, very busy. He's now got plumbing into the houses, which is a great encouragement. And he's started other things as well. And there will be a great amount of work for him to do. And it is essential for the work that this work in the buildings and in the maintenance and in the improvement of facilities is done. Mr. Foster will also help out in the preaching, and pray that the Lord will help him in that. Remember Miss Nori McAfee, she has been there since about the middle of April. She came across from Kenya, and she has well settled in now, and she's principal of the school, and she's many responsibilities and many complications to deal with, and pray that the Lord will give her wisdom and help. The school term is ending now at the end of November, and they go off for their big holiday during December and January. And you can remember the children, that the Lord will keep them safe during the holiday, and that the word will live on in their hearts, and that he'll bring them back again in the new term. And remember also those who go out to cover the pulpit. Dr. Nigel Campbell, an elder from Lisburn, has been out during the month of November to cover the pulpit ministry, and he'll be making his way back. And then Reverend Lyle Boyd from Spain will be covering the pulpit ministry during the month of December. And then there'll be other men out during January, February and March. And then, God willing, Ruth and I will return in April next year. And we have our deputation meetings now. We're almost halfway through. And pray that the Lord will help us during our deputation meetings and be with us then as we go back in April. And pray that we will be able to learn the tribal language. All of us, all of the missionaries, will have to try to learn the tribal language, which is Luganda. And the children are taught in English. They do their exams in English. But while there's a reasonable knowledge of English, about to really know the people and to be able to preach and communicate effectively, We need to have some knowledge of the tribal language, and pray that the Lord will give help as we concentrate on that when we go back. And we also want to give thanks for all that the Lord has done. And it's an amazing story, how the work came into being and how then it was transferred to our denomination and how we have got to this point. And there have been many, many miracles performed by the Lord. Many things that were impossible obstacles in the way of the work, and yet the Lord has removed them one at a time, sometimes in the most extraordinary way. And we are just amazed at what the Lord has done. We think even of the water, and it really was, humanly speaking, impossible. We were told it was impossible, and I certainly had given up on the idea, but we're thankful for those who had not given up and kept pushing on, and we're thankful for the Lord in giving the supply of water. And that's just one of many, many things that the Lord has brought to pass. And so we are thankful for the opportunity, and we're thankful for your prayers, and we trust that together, as the people of God, we will do everything that we can to fully use this opportunity that the Lord has given to us. We don't know how long the door will remain open. We trust it will remain open for many, many years. But while we have the opportunity, may we do everything that we can to fully use it to the glory of God and to the extension of his kingdom. So thank you, and may God bless you.